In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Look like I'm leaving, I know. I just want a few of these things out. I'll probably forget them here. So if you come to communion, I've left all my stuff here. Just remind me. This morning, fourth Sunday of Advent, it's important for us to remember Jesus is on his way. Amen?
Amen?
He is on his way. This is our plan. This is our focus. We will be remembering his birth, but we need to remember he's coming back. That is the primary focus of where we are in this time of preparation. And he's going to have a higher expectation of us. Other than that other person we're all waiting to show up, Jesus is going to want more than a little glass of milk and some cookies. Amen? He does. He wants more. This fourth Sunday of Advent, and it's one of those moments where the Lord's saying, hey, let's reread that, because maybe they didn't catch it. So you to pick up your prayer book in front of you, or if you carried one, turn to page 212. It's good. You brought your prayer book and sat in the front. Amazing. We'll let Santa know. 212, fourth Sunday of Advent. Which is today. I want us to read this together. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming, may find in us a mansion prepared for himself, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Those are pretty powerful words. Really sums up the day for us. Wanted to lay that groundwork. I didn't do that at the early service, so that's special for y'all. Here's the interesting thing. See, this Jesus is coming. He is bringing gifts. And as we know, he is actually already with us. Amen. And we call him, you know it. There we go. They usually listen better to the kids' lesson than me. God is with us. Very good. And then we come to this letter from Paul. It's his introduction to the church in Rome. A group of people he has never met in person. He said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures. The gospel concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. We get the whole history in that. You hear it? From the prophets on forward, this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. This is Emmanuel. And Paul goes on to say, through whom we have received grace and apostleship. Here come those are the gifts. Grace is critical. We have received grace and apostleship to bring up the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. So we get this history. Paul's laying it out there. He's saying, this is who I am. This is who this Jesus is. This is where he came from the prophets forward, through the bloodline of David. He is the Son of God. And he is with us through his death and his resurrection by the power of the Spirit. He is Emmanuel. And he gives us grace. And we have the apostleship, the job, to bring about the obedience of faith among all for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. So in this midst of this Advent, this time of preparation, And some people have referred to it as Sadvent from time to time, because they get into this concept of preparation and we kind of beat ourselves up. And so we're like, I don't really want to do that. We want to be happy. See, Christmas is supposed to be a happy time. And if I have to reflect on how ungodly I am, I feel sad. But the truth is, it's a fatigue. And as we face these opportunities, we have to hear what Paul, who used to be known as Saul, has to say next. See, because Saul, before conversion, persecuted the church. Talk bad about it. I mean, hunted people down, led groups of people to draw them out. Lives ended. This Paul says this to all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints. Well, if you knew Paul's history, you'd be thinking, saint? Mm-mm. Then we know our own history, don't we? And we have to say, saint, us? Maybe not. Maybe not. But Paul says, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, and then he says to all God's beloved in Rome, or we could say in Hillsborough County, that narrows it down because we all live in some little different part of it, although we're this close. Beloved in Hillsborough County, who are called to be saints. And then we feel a little sad because we don't think we are. In fact, I'm sure many of us at some point in our life has either had the thought or spoken out of our very own mouths, I'm no saint. Amen? So we just buy that. Because we struggle with the reality of what this could mean. Now, we just had a conversation about this by chance. It was not planned. At 6:30, starting at 6:30 in the morning at Panera on the Litany of Pinecrest, men's Bible study, in case anybody's interested where these conversations take place, at 6:30 a.m., Friday mornings, Panera on Litany of Pinecrest. Just in case you happen to find yourself up at 6:30 in the morning, you should join us. And we were talking about one of the saints, who is St. Augustine. Many of y'all might remember him in the Florida fashion as St. Augustine. Just on your training, I suspect. But the reality is, it's St. Augustine, as many people would refer to him, a saint. Cities named after him. Long time saint. Long list of them. And both of us are thinking, but I'm no saint. The people who primarily think that it's impossible for them to be a saint are either caught up in what it means to be canonized by the Roman Catholic tradition, or don't know anything about saints at all. Or you've been trained as good Protestants, to not pay attention to the saints because people use them to replace God. And that's not the case. There are examples, by the way, in all faith and traditions, that are all Christian traditions. But like all things, sometimes they get carried away, and as good Protestants, we like to push those things back. And I'd say, no, grab a hold of them and gain some knowledge about what it means so that you might see the possibility that being a saint may be exactly what Paul says, our calling. So St. Augustine, who made the list, in some time of struggle and self-reflection and spiritual transformation, he comes to this reality. From a hidden depth, a profound self-examination had dredged up a heap of all my misery and set it in the sight of my heart. That precipitated a vast storm bearing a massive downpour of tears to pour it all out with the accompanying groans. I got up from beside Alpheus, a companion of his, because solitude seemed to me more appropriate for the business of weeping. And I moved further away to ensure that even his presence put no inhibition upon me. He sensed that this was my condition at that moment. I think I may have said something which made it clear that the sound of my voice was already choking with tears. So I stood up, while in profound astonishment, he remained where he was, where we were sitting. I threw myself down somewhere under a certain fig tree and let my tears flow freely. Rivers streamed from my eyes, a sacrifice acceptable to you. And, though not in these words, yet in this sense, I repeatedly said to you, how long, O Lord, how long, Lord, will you be angry to the uttermost? Do not be mindful of our old iniquities, for I felt my past to have a grip on me. It uttered wretched cries. How long is it to be? Tomorrow? Tomorrow? Why not now? Why not an end to my impure life in this very hour? St. Augustine, his confessions, and they get better. St. Augustine, who I suspect would have said, and we already know from his own words thought, I'm no saint. Yet Paul says to us, you who are called to belong to Jesus, to all God's beloved who are called to be saints. How long, brothers and sisters? How long will we claim our brokenness in a broken world? How long will we deny Emmanuel? How long will we wait for something to happen when all God is saying, just bring to me who you are, where you are, how you are? When will we stop listening to the world that's telling us how broken and useless we are? And when will we just sit in our brokenness in the presence of God who is with us? When? How long, Lord? And I say, how long, brothers and sisters? How long will we choose to be defined by a world when we are created by God? How long will we everything that is going on in our lives to be so important when the one who knit us together in our mother's wombs is saying, I am with you. I am here. I will heal you. Come to me in your brokenness. Sit with me under a fig tree. And let it all wash in and out so that we can be cleansed by the grace of God, that we can become his dwelling place, that we can be ready for this Jesus who is with us already, so we can claim this reality. This time of preparation is a reminder of what has already happened. But we look at it as a challenge yet to be met. God is with us. How long? How long? Back to our prayer book. The prayer we just prayed. Listen. Just listen and think and wonder. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming, may find in us a mansion prepared for himself. We live in a world that says, hide your flaws. And we have a God that says, stand before me broken. We live in a world that says you cannot make mistakes, and we have a God that already knows every mistake you've ever made. And he grabs a hold of you and says, you are mine. But in order for him to get us, we have to let go of what we think we already are. We need to hear through his grace that we are his. But we hide. We learned it from our first parents. God, in the garden, after their sin, where are you? He knew where they were. He knows where you are. And he says, prepare a mansion for me. I am coming for you. And then we walk away, away to him, when he's already come to you and he is with you. How long, brothers and sisters? We hear from Paul and we hear from St. Augustine, saints, and we can look at them and say, that's what a saint looks like. Not perfect. Faithful, humble before God, not without flaws, but not without hope, not without understanding of the fullness of the grace of God. Saints, do some reading. I promise you, there is no perfection in any of our saints. Most recent one, Mother Teresa. Couldn't even find God in her own words later in her life. But she still remained faithful and she remained obedient because God was there. And God would be there with her always. And he is with us always, Emmanuel. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming. Let him prepare your soul.